Lime, duh.
Jamie, anything to add before we begin?
What?
You want to add anything before we begin?
Have a good podcast.
Okay, thank you.
Wah, wah, wah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with a nosh, Dead Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Amora.
Shut your hole!
Hey, come on, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. You guys on Zoom, they can see we're out of sync here. I mean, a.k.a. the modern day. Donnie Capri from that time I went to Italy.
WWE Champion Jinder Mahal.
A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof. Haraja, coming at you like Cleopatra. Baby, baby, gabba, gabba.
Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, 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 wee, gabba, gabba, gay, gabba.
This girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. I got a Band-Aid on my finger. It's making it in the soundboard messed up. What up, Jabroniacs? There's no excuses. We are back. Anosh, can we cut that out, please?
No, it's not in the budget.
Okay. We're back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, quarantined, weird-ass action. Whew. Hey, before we get into it, let me introduce you to the men. You're the men. That's right. The men you are seeing here, the wrestling council, if you will. If you're watching this on YouTube, we post episodes right now in Quarantine Mania on the YouTube page, the Comedians Wrestling YouTube page. And then, or you listen to this to the main podcast, you won't see him. But to my down, straight from the hell portion of the Zoom, he's a nasty, nasty boy, Nasty Newman.
Is that what this looks like to you, hell?
Oh, yeah. No, straight from Portland? I don't know where are you?
I actually don't know what this is. This is just a...
That's how we'll do it now. It's actually the background of the Zoom. That's where you are. Straight from the city where Mega Man is from.
You look like it's loading levels in Double Dragon.
This is How About It City.
That's where you are.
That's How About It City, bitch. Oh, yeah. This live from the skyline of How About It City, bitch.
Yeah,
what's look up? All right, it's Newman. You guys, you got it. It's Newman. And from Vancouver, San Diego, the window washer himself, the Canadian dream / my Canadian nightmare, Anosh McAdam.
Hello, Daniel.
That's right.
This is your father.
All right. Well, actually, Anosh is playing my dad, I believe, for the rest of this podcast. You heard it.
Yeah, Vancouver, San Diego. That's
Vancouver.
Know what the Rossi is kicking.
That's my dad, and we'll be talking about Ronda Rousey, who my dad calls Ronda Rossi. Oh, wow, looks like Newman's stepping off for a second. right at the top of the show. We're true professionals. Here we go. But hey, before we wait for Newman to get back, we got to talk about the show. If you dig the show, you like what we're doing, you enjoy all this great content we're making right now during Quarantine Mania, and you want to support the show, a show that is homeless right now, if you will, go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling and pledge a couple bucks, help us out. By the way, if you're a patron at all levels, I send out stickers. I am now mailing stickers the day you become a patron because I have the time. So if you're a patron of this podcast and you've not received a sticker, please send me a message, and I want to make sure you got it. Give it a week or so because I've mailed – I mailed over 100 stickers this week. So, yes. And you get our COW NWO style sticker for being a patron. And also our AEW style COW sticker. Also, if you are a member of the Cal Movie Club, formerly known as the producer level, we have our movie episodes dropping every single Monday, and our Cal Movie episode this week is out right now from it's The Rock's Gridiron Gang, which is available. You can watch on Netflix now. This movie is too serious for quarantine zone, and we've taken that into account. And next week we will be watching Bumblebee, which is now available on Amazon Prime, I believe. Oh, great no, movie. Hulu. One of them. I heard it's a great movie. You saw it, great. Newman?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe you'll get Newman. We'll rate it out of five moves. Who knows?
It's probably the best
John Cena
Transformers movie
since the Firefly Funhouse. Oh, you think it's the best I hear, look, the Rotten Tomatoes reviews are crazy good for this movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's got a lot of heart.
No more Mr. Nice Chew.
Okay, I don't know how that was apparent. That felt irrelevant. Yeah, so that movie dissection episodes come out every Monday. You can check that out. Also, just a quick note. This week, I've been doing my Twitch streams, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack, watching Twitch programs. I am going to take this week off from Twitching to work on some other stuff. And so we'll be back next week on the Twitch, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. But go give it a follow right now. Give the Twitch stream a follow, and then we'll come back we'll talk about it next week, what we're going to do. Okay? Good? Yes. Good.
Are your neighbors still playing techno? Soon. Are your neighbors still playing techno?
And before we get into all the wrestling action, I'll give you a little about BTS, right? Because I feel like the whole world is BTS right now behind the scenes, right? And so before we started recording, one of my neighbors decided to just blast techno. And you could see which window it was. Just a full open window, you know? Just an open window, techno cranked all the way up. We were like, hey, can you turn it down? They weren't answering. And then and you start hearing all of the houses around here just being, you fucking turn that down. It's kind of amazing. People get so mad right away.
I find that out here, though, they don't. Like, I feel like it's a more East Coast thing, like for somebody to stick their head out the window and be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, so but out here, it doesn't happen that much.
That is so funny because someone was saying how, like, it. I mean, this is not funny, obviously, but it is funny. It's funny, layered. But in Italy, they sing out off the balconies, you know?
Yeah.
And here, it's just like, yo, all right. Like, I think nothing, in New York, they're just banging pots and pans, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing like.
I think makes me laugh more than, like, a distant voice going, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's comic gold.
I know. It's like. I'm very conflicted about that because I also have this – we're talking about this, but I kind of have this thought, which is like, listen, if you're someone who requires like a lot of silence, well, then you should factor that in when you're signing a lease or something, you know?
Right.
That being said, you know, it's expensive to live places and blah, 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 you know? But I think I've lived in places where I have neighbors who are just so trigger happy. I'm like – they believe they deserve silence to such a high degree
right.
Where you're like, yo, it's like, you're like, well, then don't live in Manhattan. You right. know what I mean? Like, you don't, I'm sorry, don't live in Manhattan. Be a commuter, and you can find places that are way quieter. If quieter, because I used to live in, I mean, let's talk, even in LA. I mean, Saturday nights, I've had the cops come to my house at 10 p.m. when I'm having a party.
Right.
And we rarely have parties. It'll be in my part 10 p.m. So someone's like, you know, it's Saturday night, right?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, that's because of the neighborhood you live in, though. There's a lot of old people.
I live around the old people, you know. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this is one of my neighbors. This is a combo I recorded of one of my neighbors.
Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's what they said about my parties. I was like, I'm just trying to have a birthday party, you know, and this guy's just like.
For you.
Anyway, so I, yeah, anyway, whatever. This is, you know, it is what it is. I think it's like, I have friends who are trying to work out at home, this is saying, and they're stomping, and their neighbors are like, no, you can't, you're not allowed to stomp. And I'm like, you know, isn't the message like we're all in this together? You know what I mean? And like when you go to your neighbor, you're like, you know what? Listen, I'll go walk the dog at 8 o'clock, and you stomp around for that half hour that I'm gone. You know what I mean? We can't even work this shit out. Like, Americans, we can't, you know, and the Italians are off the balconies singing in unison, you know?
Yeah, singing fucking La Traviata, and we're like,
I know,
going on next door talking shit about our neighbor.
Yeah, going on next door being like, I saw someone wearing a hood or whatever. Like, yeah. Fucking, I've never been on next door. I just kind of know that it's like horrible. It's horrifying, right?
I've never been on it either. I've just seen screenshots.
Anyway, speaking of screenshots, I don't know how that's a segue, but let's talk about the news of the week. I think there's only one place to start this podcast off, which is literally this morning. I saw Anderson Cooper talking about this, and it's very weird when WWE gets any kind of mention on CNN. WWE has been deemed by the governor of Florida, Mr. Ron DeSantis, who I think I speak for all of us to say a complete idiot jabroni. I mean, No? I'll speak for myself. This guy is a moron and is actually killing people. But I don't think that's – I also don't think that's political at all. I think it's just factual, right?
Yeah, and I also think it's pretty obvious why and how they became – they somehow got an exemption.
Yes, I have the actual timeline here. Which we will get into, because this is a conflicting thing. But I think regardless of WWE, just separate, this governor is proven to be extremely incompetent. You know, being a governor is a serious responsibility, and he's not protected people of his state. And I think, frankly, the guy's a moron. You think anyone turned it off? Do you think anyone's like, Ron DeSantis, I'm turning this podcast off. Not my Ron.
I am one of his constituency.
I don't even like Cuomo, who, like, you know, seems to be doing a proficient job, where no one could say anything about him, but that would probably offend me. You know, I don't have any governor loyalty. The only governor I have loyalty towards is the governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We've had two WWE Hall of Famer governors in the U.S.
Is that true?
What's his name? Jesse the Body, right? Was the governor?
Oh, right.
That's fucking nuts. All right. Anyway, So Ron DeSantis, he says that WWE is part of deemed an essential business.
Essential media.
Yeah, workers who support radio, television, and media service, including but not limited to frontline news reporters, studio, and technicians for news gathering, and reporters in publishing and news. So they're talents have been given letters to show law enforcement, which allegedly labeled WB as essential media. Here's the deal. Okay, so separate from that issue, I just think this guy's proven to be a moron. Now, WWE has been deemed essential business. That means they're going to be doing live shows every single week, meaning they're actually back on their normal schedule, which means during this quarantine – I don't need to explain the quarantine to everybody, right? During this shelter-at-home situation, I think every state right now is shelter-in-place, right?
Yeah.
So
that means that WWE – there hasn't been any federal response.
No, but I think every state is done it now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I think so, but whatever. Who cares? You know, if you need news, if you need hard news, go somewhere else. But
go to the Comedians of News podcast.
Yeah, this is Comedians of News podcast. But yeah, so this means that pro wrestlers are now flying from where they live. Most of them don't live near the performance center. A high percentage of them do, right? Because it's in Orlando, so a lot of pro wrestlers live in Orlando. And my guess is that if you actually look at it, a lot of the people we're going to see on TV are more Orlando talent. But that being said, a lot of guys are flying in. If you see The Miz at all, you know Miz lives in L.A. That's documented, right? John Hennigan is a guy who lives in L.A., so we know that. So those are two wrestlers going flying from L.A. So these guys are being flying in for their show weekly, you know. It's complicated. I'm curious, you know, I've been going back and forth on this, and I think this is kind of like the most tested I feel as a the most tested, I feel, as a WWE viewer. Right. Because I see it as a couple ways. I think that it's two separate. I see it as two separate things. One element of it, I think, is I believe that they should not be doing this. I think I straight up think that this is like, you know, this is wrong. We're in a time of crisis, and WWE should really be protecting their talent, you know? And I get that they have to – they want to put on shows. I could see that argument. It's like they owe these shows. I think what I'm reading is that these contracts are for live shows. So that's the value.
Who's going to go?
Well, there's no crowd still. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still, they're live shows, but they're not. There's no audience. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what do you mean who's going to go? Which talent you mean?
I guess I thought that they were like just going to try to do like regular shows.
No. They're not opening up to the live crowd. But they're just doing like closed set. You know what I mean? They're just everything's in the performance center. But what it is that their contracts, WWE's, when all these contracts were signed, SmackDown, the reason that the price of WWE is so valuable is because it's live TV. And now with everyone watching stuff streaming and everything, blah, 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 no one's watching live TV. So a sports game, any sport, you know, WWE being a sports type program, there's a lot, it's high value in the fact that it's happening live.
Right.
So when it's not happening live, these contracts say this is a live show, right? So now I think WWE's probably worried that, you know, Fox, Universal will be like, look, you're giving us taped content. This is not the deal. So you're going to lose a bunch of money. That's what I think is happening. And I've read that too, but I haven't seen it like formally confirmed because everything is kind of happening very shadily. But that's really what's going on. So you can make the argument that if they're not doing these shows, they lose money. They're going to have to let talent go, regardless. Okay, so that being said, but I still haven't really seen anything in here to make me believe that they're taking the proper safety precautions. They have this one statement that's the same statement I've seen for a while, which is like, first off, they say now it's really important to provide a diversion. That's, you know, PR spin, line, whatever. In these hard times, we need diversion, blah, blah, blah. Look, same thing as NBA, right? I mean, that's a diversion for people like that. We're all making sacrifices. You know what I mean?
Right.
We got bajillion hours of pre-taped things. We'll be okay. Look, for me, WWE is an essential business. I can't deny that. You know what I mean? That's why I'm the most conflicted. Is it essential? But yeah, for me, it's essential. And I love that I'm getting new content. Obviously, I actually enjoyed Raw this week. But we're producing content in a closed set with only essential personnel in attendance, following appropriate guidelines by taking additional precautions to ensure the health and wellness of our performers and staff. Is bad or whatever. I read that wrong. As a brand has been woven into the fabric of society, WWE and its superstars bring families together and deliver a sense of hope, determination, and perseverance.
Is that what they think?
No shame. Look. There is some truth to that. That the WrestleMania weekend would have been a bummer, but they gave us a WrestleMania. We all watched it together. We had fun. There is reality to, like, they're giving us new programming. You know, I'm happy they're doing it. But they're not saying explicitly, we're testing our wrestlers. We're giving them housing so they stay locally, right? They're not saying we're giving them the private jet so that they're not flying, right? So these guys are actively... there's already one confirmed case of coronavirus in WWE, right? So they're actively spreading this disease. I mean, there's the virus, right? I mean, it's kind of like the only – that's the truth. If they're taking precautions, blah, 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 but I'm saying they're putting themselves at risk. We're not saying they're actively doing that. It's a risk. It's a risk. At the same time, do they need to be doing live TV? If I'm them, what I do is I tape a bunch of stuff, which is what AEW's done. AEW has taped all the way through May. They have all their episodes taped, I believe. You know,
I just don't know at what point. I mean, it's like someone's going to – an on-screen talent, like a wrestler's going to get sick. And then what? Like it's just reaction time?
Well, so Carmella and I'm saying just for the rec, Carmella and Corey Graves, they say a lot of people said they had it, but they've said no. My worry is they've actually had it and they're just saying they didn't because right. Carmella's been off TV. Right?
It's just like
so yeah. it's kind of weird, you know? I mean, I don't really know. I think that you know, this is not normally where we go with this pod, and we're going to get into the fun elements of it, but I think it's also weird of us to turn a blind eye to this behavior as well, you know? Right. We're not paid by WB, right? Like, we're just, you know, right. I want to kind of give you this information as our listeners so you can make your own call. But my thing is this is – all right, I'll say this one thing first, and then we'll get into it. But, okay, you can directly track – if you want to get into this, okay, we just should. But, yeah, so on April 9th, DeSantis qualifies – oh, my God, what happened here? Qualifies WWE as an essential business. The same day, Linda McMahon reelect Trump super PAC. The Trump – you know, Linda McMahon is the head of a reelect Trump super PAC, and they commit $18.5 million to Florida that same day. Vince McMahon reportedly made a decision to tape live in Orlando on April 10th. So,
what are we doing?
April, right? Whatever. April 1st, his executive order, super late for essential services only, stay open. Then he amends it on April 9th to say, including professional sports. But the interesting thing is, he knows all sports are not playing. So there's only one sport that is getting that exemption.
Is it conflicting for you guys to watch wrestling knowing that Vince McMahon is such a financial supporter of Donald Trump?
Well, okay. Yes. First off, I mean, look, it's tricky. I think, look, we're getting to territory I don't want to get in.
I know, I'm sorry to put you in a tough spot. You can be diplomatic with your answer.
Yeah. I'm not being diplomatic. I'm just saying, look, I'm not even talking. I'm just giving you the facts. You guys do what you want. Okay? So there's tricky things about WWE in general. You know, I'm on record as saying, you know, Linda McMahon's the head of small business, and they're paying wrestlers with 1099s. You know, they're only giving them health insurance when they're in the ring, which they didn't for a long time. You know, there's things that are, you know, I think these wrestlers need a union. I mean, that's where I'm at. But again, I also don't have all the facts. Okay, let's get into more fun stuff. And the way we're going to do it, you have that information, is my thought is this. If WB's on, we do this podcast. That's just the deal because if wrestling's happening, a lot of you guys are watching. You're getting – I have a conflicted relationship. I'm not some hero here. If it's on, I'm watching it. I'm enjoying it. I'm hoping that the safety precautions they're taking, we learn, are enough and they're doing the right thing. And, you know, I know you guys get a lot out of this podcast based on the feedback and things I get from you guys. So I just want you guys to know that I'm not turning a blind eye to what's ethically correct here. I'm giving you the information that I have, and that being said, I think that doing this podcast right now, especially in this time, people, you know, we're going to do it. So we're going to talk about wrestling, and that's what it is. Doesn't mean we agree that it should be happening live. Cool? Newman?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's sort of, I mean, whatever we have to tell ourselves.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. I think... yeah, we'll see. It's something we're still tracking. You know what I mean? It's kind of just we're figuring this out. We're living in a new world. We'll see this day by day, you know? Okay, so that being said, there is one thing I can confirm is I think Ron DeSantis is a moron. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never seen him before. Because, you know, people are dead because of his behavior. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the benefit.
One of the rare people who look, or he is somehow as stupid as he looks.
That guy, I knew. Yeah. I, you know, I was thinking something similar. I saw the guy speaking. I was like, this guy seems like kind of a doofus. And then he's making doofus calls. And you're like, oh, this guy, how did this guy get in office? You know, how did these guys get in office who cannot, they can't even communicate. It's like wild.
Well, yeah, I mean,
okay. All right, let's get
too far down the road that I'm not prepared to go down.
Yeah, I know. Okay,
because I have the answer, but you're not going to like it.
Okay, Anosh, where are you?
He's installing a dishwasher.
Making Anosh. Some Korean ginseng tea.
Great. Oh, are we getting some feedback on your end, Anosh?
I'm getting no feedback. You sound wonderful, Dan.
Oh, I think when you walk away,
It was
you
a tea
weird noise. Yeah. All right, anyway. Oh, cool. So here's the deal. Well, one thing I want to point out is Andrade was out. He refused to do WrestleMania. But now he's back wrestling on Raw. Right. So I'm reading that a bunch of talent are unhappy about this decision. So now we have a guy – we have somebody confirmed who probably is just like, well, my fiance Charlotte, she's there. So what's the difference, right?
Right.
She's going to keep coming home. And getting, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you already kind of have a wrestler. I said I was done with this, but you already have a wrestler who is back in. Now, that being said, here's the conflict. It's like, I like the spot Andrade's in on Raw. I'm glad to see him. And he's in a good spot, but we already have a wrestler who, that's it. And like, Brock's not going to come. So are we saying that only the guys that were in Brock's spot get to? Weird. Weird times, fellas. Weird times, everybody. Okay.
Which is why they just need to hit pause. I mean, like, that's my overall thing is, like, it's the product isn't – I found that, like, mostly what I was tuning in to see is the reactions. Like, the crowd not being there takes a lot away from me. And I think because these are not good actors, these are not talented actors who can put on some sort of, like, performance – in like a even like a experimental like creative sense, just shut it down. What you're doing is subpar.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but you know what? But I agree and I disagree because you're right about some elements of it. Some elements of more than 50%, 80% of losing the crowd takes a lot of the juice out of pro wrestling. You know what I mean? And I don't think wrestling would survive as just set wrestling. Not I like set wrestling, like NWA or whatever, but without a crowd. We're talking about zero crowd wrestling. Yes, it doesn't have the juice. But right now, I'm kind of enjoying it, but that's also coming from a place where I know that this is an off reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, there are some, in my mind, there are some positives to it. And, like, because one of that being WWE is going to have to get very creative, you know? Like, even Drew was talking about doing, he had ideas for more cinematic matches. There are some elements of this closed set wrestling that I think are very good and very good for the wrestler's development. This is the first time I feel like on main roster I've heard Zelina Vega. Like, heard her. I mean, she goes out there from the crowd, and when she was on NXT, she was great, and it was smaller. But there's something about, like, some of these wrestlers, I feel like they've been swallowed up by the crowd, and now I'm finally seeing them, you know? Which I think is very cool. Drew McIntyre, there's two separate points. Like, well, no, Drew McIntyre and Angel Garza this week. Both had moments, like Drew spoke right to the lens, to the listeners, the viewers, and it was so baby face for him to say, like, I appreciate you, and look in the lens, as opposed to saying, I appreciate you to the circus of the universe, and saying the universe, it's more, even that, it's like, oh, the WWE universe, it's like, and then they react, and then they react, you got to play around them, and there's a weird timing to promos in pro wrestling where, you know, you have to play around them, especially in the post-what chant world, the most destructive heckle of all time, you know? But, like, Garza had a moment where he was talking to the cameraman, and he was like, it was like POV style, and Garza's like, stand up, get up, come on, get in my face. He's like, the camera was on the apron, and he was like, get up, it was on the floor, and he was like, stand up on the apron and get in my face. They need to see me. And these wrestlers are coming on live in a way that you don't get, and I think this element, especially Vince, who's a guy who's very stuck in his ways, from the Firefly Funhouse to the Boneyard match to now, even these small tweaks, there's a creativity happening in WWE that it very much excites me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Drew wants to do a bar fight with Bobby Lashley, I was reading, you know? That sounds cool. Yeah, I think there's a cool opportunity to for WWE to get creative and for WWE to be forced to push talent. And we can argue, is it just talent who's willing to show up? A guy like Austin Theory is a guy who's, you know, if you're Austin Theory, even if I'm immunocompromised, I'm showing up to wrestle, right? Because this is such a big opportunity for him to get serious airtime for a young, hungry talent, you know?
Yeah, but at what cost?
Absolutely. If he dies. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing that there's arguments if it's correct or not correct. Right. We could debate that all day. We keep going back to it because it is the question of the moment, you know?
Right.
If I was Vince McMahon, could I pull the trigger on these talents flying in live every week? Absolutely not. But there's a lot of differences between me and Vince McMahon. And that's a lot of, you know, he's a successful guy. So I don't know what that, you know, I don't know what to say. Maybe you have to be like that to be the CEO of a company. Anosh, can you mute your mic? Anosh.
This tea is lovely.
Are you getting interference?
Can you? No, but I hear you making tea.
You can? It's so far away. Yeah. All right, hold on.
Look at my mug. You see it? It's my background's getting in the way. But just wake up and be awesome. It's just the kind of guy I am. But anyway, we can get into that. But I'm saying, like, yo, Newman, I'm asking you honestly, and your answer could be no. I'm not leading you. If you're Austin Theory,
yeah,
you're wrestling on NXT, you're a talented guy, you're young, WWE a place with, I mean, I'm already leading you into the answer I want. But if you're Austin Theory, you know who he is, and they're like, hey, yeah, you get time on Raw. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna say, you've been working on this your whole life, are you gonna go or no?
I mean, do I have my brain or do I have Austin Theory's brain?
Yeah, you have your brain, but his body.
No. Okay.
No.
No. I don't do it. Because, I mean, and you know what? That's my career, fine. But, like, if I have his brain, then, yeah, of course I'm doing it.
Right.
Because I've said
if, you, if not- I if I had my brain in Austin Theory, I'd take that risk because I'm the math I do is shitty. But what I would do is I go wrestle and then I just don't see my family. I probably rent an apartment close by the PC. This is what I would actually do. I'd rent an apartment by the PC. And I isolate myself from my loved ones and I just wrestle. That's what I do. I think that's what most of these guys would do, but if they can afford that, who knows? This is such an unprecedented zone we're in. And I think wrestlers are guys who understand there's a physical sacrifice to begin with. Mm-hmm. So my point is more it's management's. It's the heads of billion-dollar corporations who got to protect the workers. It shouldn't be up to Austin Theory to put his life in danger or not. You know,
right?
So that's where
it gets tricky. If I'm him too, though, I'm like asking for more money. Like if you want me to perform, then I have to be able to afford to be able to self isolate when I'm not here.
Right. Anyway, so. We're back into it, but I do think there's some things that are happening that are very creative and cool. Okay, so I do think these promos are great for talent. You know, I think that they're getting whatever scripts they're getting to be able to perform it in a silent way, and like actually, I think they're getting a new they're getting Hold on. Anytime I get a call now, I'm so nervous. So,
yeah, right.
You know, yeah. So I'll keep that. But yeah. Anyway, I think like you get a new level of performance, and I think it's gonna be good for wrestlers' development. So it just is what it is. All right. Let's move on to truly more fun stuff, where we will not be talking about. Well, I don't know. I feel like Corona will creep back in, but let's talk about Money in the Bank. So. Money in the Bank is coming up May 15th, I believe. They've announced they're going through with it. It's probably going to be at the Performance Center in front of no one. I doubt. There's no way we're having large gatherings by May 15th, right? No chance. No. They won't be able to pull that off. So, but Money in the Bank is happening. Probably will be at the Performance Center. Cool. All right, so so right now qualified for the men, I believe the only person we have qualified is – I actually think no one's qualified. They did women's qualifiers this week, but they announced that Aleister Black is fighting Austin Theory next week. So I imagine Aleister will beat Austin Theory clean, and we'll have Aleister in the Money in the Bank equation, which is interesting because it's already a great guy to talk about in terms of getting the briefcase. And so let's just stick with the men for now. Newman, who do you want to win the Money in the Bank briefcase? Especially, let's factor in the weird times we're in right now. Like, who do you think is the smart guy to get it?
I don't even know who's in the picture here.
The only person in the picture right now is Aleister Black. So you can open it up to NXT. You know, we can fantasy. At this point, we're in the week of fantasy booking. We're not looking at, here are the guys, and this is what it is. Right. It's just kind of like, think about it in terms of, I'll give you a little more lead here. How about this?
Yeah.
We had a WrestleMania, a historically old WrestleMania. You know, we had one of the least, we had Taker, we had, people were complaining. In terms of that, we probably need to use it to build a new talent, you know?
Yeah, I think I like, first kind of couple guys that come into my mind is guys like Matt Riddle, Keith Lee.
Yeah.
NXT guys. I think Aleister Black. The contract gimmick doesn't really work with him.
See, I agree. He feels like the guy he's perfectly positioned in terms of like his build right now. He feels like a perfect guy in terms of where his career's at to win the case, because you could see him cashing in, and like you could see it, the instant elevation of that. But then his character is so lame with walking around with a contract, right?
He would come up from the fucking ground with it in his hands.
Yeah, he comes up from the ground with a briefcase.
somebody who is like a shining, like, future talent.
A shining wizard. Speaking of shining wizard, Adam Cole. What do you think about Adam Cole winning the Money in the Bank briefcase?
He'll be cool. I think I'm more partial to, like, I mean, or like, what's his fuck? Garza?
Yeah, Angel Garza. I fired off Angel Garza in the group, like, just quickly. It was like, I think about it, I'm like, you know, when you think about these guys, this is for the heavyweight championship, you know? So you're like, is this guy ready? I can't see how Garza – I said Garza, but when I think more about it, I can't see how Garza would be ready to be the heavyweight champion in a year. But I do think someone like maybe Andrade, or maybe, you know, I actually think if you spend 7 months building a talent, they'll take a big jump. And I think you can do it. You know what I mean? So I would choose somebody. I actually think Adam Cole is like the perfect guy, but he also has to lose that title first.
Right.
It's weird to have the NXT champion also have – I mean, weird, whatever. Times are so weird. Who cares? But Adam Cole is a really good example of a guy. It's a great way to bring Adam Cole up to the main roster. So the more I think about it, I think Adam Cole is a great spot for it. Like Velveteen Dream, it's like, does he need the only way to do it, it's cool if they do some kind of they're so bad at these like elusive angles on WWE. So I'm like, it's cool if you like a puff of smoke, he keeps like waving the briefcase in your face, but I just feel like they'll blow it.
Yeah. It is better though with somebody who's like open, who is like Adam Cole, where gloating and being fucking a weasel is his thing.
He's the guy.
Worked for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, but do you think Adam Cole is ready to be the heavyweight champion of a Raw or a SmackDown?
I mean, you know, I'm not normally a body guy, but like, he does need to put on a few pounds.
He's small. Small. He's really, really small. I watched him wrestle a lot on the indie scene. He's small. you know, he's small. I don't know what else to say. I think Matt Riddle is the guy. Adam Cole's a great guy for the kids. I think Matt Riddle's probably, if I was booking, Matt Riddle's a guy, is a guy who, why waste any, the guy's already in his 30s. It's like, he's so, he's right. Big. He looks fucking great. Why waste any time with this guy? I don't know. I'm just like, throw him up there. Have him beat these big, he plays the game correctly. Have him go beat up these big boys. It's just right. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think he's fucked himself a little.
That's what I was going to say. I think that is where this stupid politics comes into it. And you know, all you got to do is rub one person slightly the wrong way. And that's that on that for your career.
And that's perfectly segues into my next thing, which is like, this Ronda Rousey situation, because oh my god, what is Anoche doing? Anoche's outside again.
Here we go. This is like a weekly sign.
I know, it's a
you need to do a super cut of like him outside, like all the stuff.
Well, at least he muted his microphone. But all right, but Anoche's, it looks like he's doing something. I don't know. What do you think of my place right now? I've hung up some John Cena pictures. What do you think?
I see that. Yeah, I see a couple of. I see your neighbor is stopping yeah. by. It looks like.
Yeah, that's my neighbor, Abigail. She's uh-huh. here. She pops in. She's waiting for Jamie. Jamie's giving her some pig's blood. I think she's they try to do a spell.
Pig's blood in the house of a Jew. Interesting.
We didn't kill the pig. We just imported
it. Oh, got it. I guess it is Passover, right? Or that's lamb's blood.
Yeah, lamb's blood. Lamb's blood from the door. Maybe it is lamb's blood. I think she was. I saw her scraping it off the door. It was dried.
Got it.
Was that weird?
From Passover, probably.
yeah.
By the way, we're talking about Metallica. Best Passover song ever recorded is Creeping Death by Metallica.
I don't know. It's a Passover song?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's about Passover. It's about the angel of death killing the firstborn, and it's from the perspective of the angel of death.
Wow.
The lyrics are literally about Passover.
The angel of Garza.
Yeah.
It's about the angel of Garza. Well, that's cool. I'll check that out. We added to the Cal playlist, the official Spotify Cal playlist, the Metallica song that Taker came out to.
Now That We're Dead.
Yeah. And the memory, Now That We're Dead. That's how it goes, right? That's how that goes?
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Anyway, love Metallica. I sent you that concert that I was at. They were streaming it live. Okay, so... Yeah, Matt Riddle. So talk about the politics that we were talking about. Matt Riddle, who is apparently in the actually, I have a quote from Matt Riddle here.
Bro.
He's apparently in the, you know, we know what's going on with him. People don't like his attitude because he calls out the older guys and he still does it. But I adore it because I love questioning like ridiculous traditions, anything that has to do with like that's not. I love tradition, by the way. Traditions are a very cool thing. It can be very. I can be sentimental about tradition,
right?
But not traditions that are like, here's how you're supposed to act. You know what I'm saying? Right. Not like that kind of shit.
I hate the idea that like you can't make new traditions. Like what? The only people who could make traditions were like fucking 300 years ago, and that's it. If you weren't around back then, you couldn't start doing stuff.
Well, you're seeing right now, right? How tradition can be so so like draconian. Like it's like right now we'll probably never shake hands again in society, right? And forever our doctors have been telling us to stop shaking hands. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like shaking hands in wrestling is this huge thing also, right?
Right.
So good, you're like, brothering. Well, yeah. We don't need to shake hands with people. Shake hands with people if you're about to wrestle them. That's one thing, because whatever, right? That's like, you know, a thing. But like, you don't need to shake the full room's hands. That's just you getting yourself sick. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's rolling the die. So it's like we don't need to be stuck. There's traditions that I think that All right, so let's apply it to Rousey, because this week's very relevant. Ronda Rousey put out a tweet, or maybe like an Insta message, you know, whatever. Who knows anymore, folks? And she basically, apparently, none of this was a work. From what I'm reading, Newman, but she said wrestling is fake fighting, and it shouldn't be. And she's like, she said it's fake fighting, and then she doubled down by being like, listen, if anyone's been in a real fight, you call wrestling fake fighting. You know what I mean? And she's like, now she's from the inside calling it fake, right?
Right, right.
My thing is like, God, like we know what she means, right? I mean, let me find the exact thing. But
I mean, even if it isn't a work, which, by the way, it is, I don't care what you read. It's 100% a work.
Well, it feels like a work, 100%.
And so then, of course it is. If it feels like it, of course it is. But what she's doing essentially then is like, okay, so let's say she does think that wrestling is fake fighting. Then why is what you did important, and why should anybody care about it at all? You're undercutting your own. It's like when wrestlers, it's better for a wrestler to talk up their opponent than it is to call them like a weak piece of shit. Because when they win, then you just beat a weak piece of shit. You didn't put yourself over by like making them seem hard to beat. So with this, it's like, oh, wrestling's fake fighting. It's all fake. I've been in real fights, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, then you just completely took the steam out of your entire championship experience.
Right. I could. Here, hold on. Find this quote.
But it's a work.
Oh. Yeah. The whole thing reeks of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. But also, like, I don't like anything where we can't be top of intelligence. You know, like anytime where it's like you know what she mentions. But my thing is this: she calls wrestling fake fighting. And I'm like, yeah, it's fake fighting. That's why it's so good. It's theater. Right. It's two people working together. I don't care about people beating the shit out of each other. I don't need to see two people. Look, I like UFC. I dig it to an extent, right? But it always ends up, not always, but some fights cross a line where I just go like, all right, this is, I get it. All right, this is too much. You know, I like the element. I really enjoy seeing, oh, this guy's a better fighter than this guy, but I also don't want them to get injured. Like,
right.
I remember I watched Frank Mir gave like a Kimura to Nogueira, right? Like a heavyweight fight. And like Nogueira is like really proud, so he'll never tap out, but he fucking snapped his whole thing. It was so gross. And you're like, dude, just call it. Like, we don't need to see you like have this guy needs to get 4 surgeries on his shoulder because you popped it out and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's where I'm like, I don't care about that. But then seeing two wrestlers put on, I don't need to describe why I like wrestling, but the element of theater and everything that comes with it, and the passion and pageantry and all the characters and the storytelling is the main thing that we get. Right. But I'm not offended when you call it fake fighting, you know what I mean? Because right. That's where I'm at. But yes, as somebody that deep on the inside, but like my point is that like Booker T comes out and is like, oh, well, like, you know, it's gonna be tough for her to come back, and what she did was really disrespectful and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, every time something like this happens, it's always Booker T. It's always,
right.
Booker T's the guy who apparently didn't get the Young Bucks sign because they didn't shake his hand or some shit back in the day, right? It's like always some like weird, oh, they like put their jacket over my jacket, and like, you know what I mean? Like, so even if I see arguments against what Ronda did, but I'm always more rubbed about the Cornettes, where like, you don't do this, you're killing the business, blah, blah, blah,
right?
Like all that shit. That always bothers me more, because yes, there's a line, but I always feel like, let's top of our intelligence, guys. Oh, many times over the years, people have called wrestling fake, and it has not affected our enjoyment of it at all.
Right. I mean, but let's try to do devil's avocado here for a second, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's play devil's avocado.
This. Yeah. If it were improv, are there conventions and traditions in improv where you personally are like, nah, you can't change this. You can't do this a different way.
Well, Yeah, I guess so. I guess there's some things where it's like it's long form. Everything's case by case, but if you're doing long form improv, there's some basic rules to it, right? Like, right. So if somebody comes in an improv scene with me and then they start breaking the fourth wall, mm-hmm. like just like whenever they want, right? And right. just and I'm trying to set a reality and they just break it, then yeah, that would make me upset. So this is the same argument, right, that you're making,
right? Right. Right. I mean, it kind of is, right? Like, right. It's, you know, you don't betray the form for right. for your own sake. But I mean, like,
there is room for
experimentation, though. Like, you know, I'm sure there is an improv scene out there where breaking the fourth wall, if it's like The Game or something, it's like a weird game. But like, I'm sure there is like a situation where you can push these boundaries, so it is still soft, but. Right. It's not hard to imagine some people being like dickheads about okay. staying close to this thing.
Well, let's just read the actual quote for a second. I love the WWE. I had such a great time. I love all the girls in the locker room. Like, hell yeah, running out there and having like fake fights for fun is just the best thing, you know? I love choreography. I love acting. I love theater. It's live theater and some of the last forms of live theater, and it's so fun. Okay. All that is great and fine.
Fine.
But I was doing it basically part-time, and I was away from home for over 200 days a year. And when I did get home, I was so sleep-deprived because you just don't have time to lay down. My back is broke, so my bottom vertebrae is, like, broken in half. I would be taking all these different kind of bumps and stuff, and I basically, when I was home, I would have to be laying on the bed, my legs elevated, and the heat pack under my back. This is not what I read. This is different. If all I did the
I thought she was like, I thought she was more acerbic about it. This seems very reasonable.
Yeah, this is not. If we did all the live shows, I was only home a day and a half a week. It was just not worth it for my family because we were eliminating all of our expenses and living this lifestyle. We didn't need it. We didn't need the money. So it was just like, what am I doing it for? If I'm not being able to spend my time and my energy on my family, but instead spending my energy on a bunch of fucking ungrateful fans that don't even appreciate me. Okay, so let's go from that. That is true. That is 100% true. Not for me. I adored Ronda Rousey. She's one of my favorite wrestlers. I thought she would killed it. She blew my mind how talented she was. But the general opinion was that she was jabroni status. And she's going out there breaking her back for this company, and people were talking shit about her every second. And she's right, like, true. I don't need to do the Cena route where I spent 20 years here before you respect me. I'm already rich, you know?
Right.
So I just think that that's fine. The thing is, I love performing. I love the girls. I love being out there. But at the end of the day, I was just like, fuck these fans, dude. My family loves me, and they appreciate me, and I want all the energy to go into them. That was my decision at the end of the day. It's like, hey, girls, love what you're doing. I'm going to try and take all my momentum and push you guys as far as I can. Fly, little birds, fly. I'm fucking home. I'm going fucking home. And that was basically it. If I ever do come back, it will not be in a full-time capacity ever again.
Hmm.
All right. That, by the way, I didn't even know this was an excerpt from an interview. I thought I just read the post that she put up, but it looks like she was on this Steve O's podcast, is what you said.
Yeah.
Right? But maybe, is this a Rhonda says rips WB fans, says she helped them. All right. Anyway, love WB, had a great time. I love it. Yeah. Anyway, look, the point is this. I don't know what quote she said, blah, blah, blah. She clearly has a good take, a smart take on all of this, right?
Right.
And she, in a conversational form, said, going out there having fake fights for fun. Oh, this is what she said, and then she had to respond to this fake fight. All right, now I'm tracking this fucking thing. Then she said fake, and then people flipped out because she said the F word.
Right.
All right, so just from hearing that, I know that she has her head on her shoulders, no?
Right, right. Yeah, that's all completely reasonable.
Right. And it brings up a lot of topics. Someone with her power, if you're a WWE talent, you should want someone like at this level to point out the flaws of the business, because do you need to be on the road 300 days a year?
Nope.
You know what I mean? Do we need to do that? Is that healthy for the talent? Like, is that to be, you know? Anyway, interesting. All right. Cool. So The fans didn't appreciate her. I said at the time, enjoy Ronda Rousey. Go back on this podcast. Hear me saying, enjoy Ronda Rousey while she's here. She won't be here long, and you'll miss her. And by the way, the women's division has not been as good without her. It's just true. Right. So she was fucking great. All right, moving on. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I felt some hesitancy from you. Wow. Good news for my wife. Cool. The Revival, released by WWE. Immediate release. They've been asking for their release forever, so my guess is they agreed to stay, probably being like, if we get released, we don't want any waiting period, is my guess. Right. But I'm just guessing that. They immediately posted a picture of them being Thanos'd. a t-shirt immediately on Pro Wrestling Tees. Thanos'd. They're going officially by FTR, which is awesome. Right. They're officially going to be Fuck the Revival, but be called FTR. They changed their names from Dawson and whatever the fuck they were called, to Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler.
Cash Wheeler, I like, but Dax Harwood?
I love it both. They're both porn stars. I love it.
Yeah, Dax Harwood is like, that's extra bad.
But, dude, to take one of the best tag teams
What is this? You think the Revival is one of the best tag teams in wrestling?
Go back on this podcast and let me tell you. I've said, if we can go back to my words, I said that the Revival would not do well on the main roster, is what I said.
Uh-huh. I think you go back and you'll find that you're like, these are not my guys. I do not like them.
No, I said that I feel like I perfectly nailed the Revival, and we can go back because I said that they get the best match I'd ever seen at a WrestleMania weekend, which was American Alpha, WrestleMania 32. American Alpha versus Revival blew my fucking mind. It was the first match we saw of the whole week. That match is sick. Go back and watch that. That's NXT Dallas for WrestleMania 32, my bachelor party weekend. That match was sick, and I was Revival are great. I just didn't think that their gimmick would translate up. But now we have AEW with a legitimate tag team division. They're going to go in there and fucking kill it. They're going to be they're going to be what SCU wishes they are.
Yeah.
I'm excited. They're going to pop up. Expect these guys in AEW the day they tape new episodes. Mm-hmm. And AEW will continue to dominate tag wrestling.
I'll say this too.
Yeah.
One thing I guess is comforting is that Tony Khan, mm-hmm, is like the anti Vince McMahon, right? He's like the opposite Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
He seems to think that, I had read this, he was pushing for Moxley and Hager. He thinks that's like what people want to see.
That's the match they're doing next. I think that that's a good, you feed Hager to Mox, right?
It has to be a squash.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be a squash, but I think it's like a Moxley clean win. You know what I'm saying?
It is so bad and uninspiring.
I agree. I'm not a Hager mark. I was never a Swagger mark. WWE former WWE heavyweight champion Jack Swagger. Was never a Swagger mark. And I'm not a Hager mark, but I do think he's a good guy for Moxley to run through on his title. Yeah. Listen, there's not a lot of huge guys in AEW for him to beat, you know? Because if he has a feud, his next feud's with, let's say they got Brody Lee, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, then you're him taking a loss to Mox stops his momentum of building the Exalted One and Dark Order gimmick, right? So right. Jericho, he already wrestled. Cody.
It has to be, right.
Right, so it's he's one of the only jobbers of the heavyweight division of AEW.
I just think it's funny that, like, I don't know, nobody's clamoring for
enhancement talent. No one cares about it except for the fact that I think Moxley will make it cool,
right?
And maybe Hager will make it cool. Like I you know, I'm just excited for anything in AEW. Like, I mean, hey, listen, I think AEW is doing such great work. We're going to get a Chris Jericho versus Matt Hardy deletion style match, a final deletion style match. I mean, that's I've never been more excited for anything. I mean, it's like that's gonna be so fucking funny, you know?
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, good. The revival released. Let's talk about Drew McIntyre for a little bit.
Let's do it.
Who, by the way, had this line that I had to write down where. Andrade and Zelina were talking shit to him, and there was no crowd to laugh, and he's like, and the crowd goes mild. Have you ever heard that? I never heard that. I was like, that's pretty funny. Yeah. But Drew, I think, is really, really the perfect champion for this time, because I, you know, he's a really warm, likable, genuine guy. You literally feel like he feels for everyone right now.
Yeah. Did you see the video of him talking about being listed? There's like some like British or some UK like sports award, like UK sports person of the year or whatever, and he's nominated. And it's he did like a little video with him and his cat. Very, very
baby face. I saw him with the title on the
table.
Yeah. And then the cat was playing with it, but I didn't have the audio up.
And it's great. It's great.
I'll go back
it's exactly like what you just said, though. It's like very warm, naturally warm, and friendly energy out of Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, it's just it's great. He's like the perfect. As a matter of fact, we'll go to this next, but I'll give Strowman credit also. He has that championship, and I'm like, this feels right. This guy's a fucking – this guy has earned the champion. He's really done.
Right. I lost your audio somehow. You're muted. There you go.
Oh. Hold on.
You were muted.
Am I back? Yeah, I see it.
Yeah,
did
you're
it.
Back.
Am I back? Yeah, sometimes it just like goes on and off quick for no reason. Probably because a Nosh fucked it up.
Yep. Always a Nosh.
This guy with his free healthcare. When are you leaving the country? Or what are you going to escape this?
What are you getting out?
Can't leave, bro. I'm on lockdown. I got anchors here. Plus, I don't think I qualify for Canadian healthcare right now.
Oh, why? Because you're like a bail, like that you bailed. They get
I bailed. But I do pay for it every year. You do pay a little bit every year to maintain it.
How much is it?
For me, it's a little higher because I live out of the country. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's like $20.
$20?
No,
oh my like God,
that. It's something ridiculous like that.
All right, wrestling. So, Drew McIntyre and Seth. Seth Meyers feud. Seth Rollins. Seth, they showed the only stuff we saw from Seth on this episode was we saw a close-up of Seth kind of in his head saying, once again, my career had been crucified. So he's kind of like, you know, after losing to KO. So he's kind of in a weird spot, and he came out and he stomped Drew McIntyre, and he... Tulo had wrote a whole thing on the Facebook about how Seth's telling a really deep, complex story here, which I'll talk to him about on the bonus app this week, but I don't see it. I think it's just kind of like it, but I do think it's a great Rollins, Drew. Great feud. A great feud to watch. I need Rollins. I need more of this pastor thing. I need it to go a little further.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I do think it's very fun. He's also going to be by himself for a while, I imagine. So he's going to have to find a way to preach. You know, he's got to talk to the people through the camera, try to convert the people. You think it's Drew, but it's me. You think Drew is your savior. It's not. He's not what you think he is. Come to me. Donate. Here is my link. Donate your money or whatever the fuck. But yeah, I'm excited to just see those matches. That'll be fun. I imagine Drew will probably – it's a good – you know, you could feed heel Seth to Drew.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman. We have two excellent heavyweight feuds happening right now. SmackDown, I thought, was pretty much full jabroni status. I mean, but the last 4 minutes, we had a Firefly Funhouse and Bray Wyatt basically reintroducing himself to Braun Strowman, the man that he brought into this world. His line was, since I brought you into this world, I'm going to have to take you out.
Nice.
I was looking it up. How did Braun leave the Wyatt family? And I believe it was just they got drafted to separate shows.
I think that's what it was, right? It wasn't even like climactic or anything.
No, I think they just got drafted, right? I think that's what it was. The Bray was on one show and the Wyatt family's, the whole rest of them were on another show. I think that's all it was. Yeah. So I think, I think that Bray was great. He did his classic, you know, thing of just like, I want my title back, laughing, a perfectly edited Firefly Funhouse, really fun. All the puppets. The puppets have games. It's so fun. The Rambling Rabbit always goes against him, so you know he might kill him, you know? Because, like, Bray's trying to pull the thing, which is like, I have no problem with you. These guys do. And then they all right. say, I actually like Braun. And you're right. Like, all right, shut the fuck up, Rambling Rabbit. It's very fun. Rambling Rabbit right here. Right on top of my TV
there
right
he
here.
Is.
Very cool. But, I mean, a Bray-Strowman feud, the best part about it was Strowman was like, at the end of it, was like, hey, let me in or whatever, you know, or whatever he said to him, you know. And I think it was, Strowman seemed scary as fuck.
Yeah.
And Bray, like, when he gets in that mode, and Bray, I was like, I can't wait to see these guys collide. Except
for
the
fact King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yes. They're going to have to be very careful with this booking, because do we want the Fiend to get pinned by Strowman? I think Sweater Bray could take a pin from Strowman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But the Fiend needs to – Fiend's got to be – you know, he can't be unstoppable, but I don't want to see Strowman pin him.
Yeah, I mean
– I want to see Strowman pin Fedora Bray. That'd be
right.
cool.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Like he could do like a Mick Foley thing where he has like three different versions of himself.
Yeah, maybe Bray's like insistent on, he's like, I got to go back and wrestle you this way.
Right.
Right? But, you know, do we get a Funhouse match? And then if we get a Funhouse match, can we see somebody succeed at a Funhouse match? Bray is just so exciting. He's so exciting, but he can't really it's so tricky because it's hard to have him lose, you know?
Yeah, I don't even know what you would do. I mean, it's going to be what? Where's
they got to keep him away from the title is the key. Like, right. I'm saying, this is what my last point is. Like, they got to stop having him feud with the guy with the title, you know?
Or just have him not want the title. Like, it's okay for the Fiend not to have the title. He has his little belt that he made. If he wants a belt,
yeah.
But if he's like, because then if a title's not on the line,
right?
Then I don't think it matters if the champion loses. Like he could teach Strowman a lesson without costing Strowman the belt.
Yeah, but he already said he said in the promo, I want it back.
Yeah, of course. And they ruined it already. But, like, so you got to figure out a way to do it differently. But like,
I know. I'm just responding to it. But anyway,
yeah.
Those are just – I'm just saying, like, in terms of, look, we're in technical lull times. And I will say this, by the way, even though we have a weird year going, this is, like, technical, like, lull times, Daddy, because, like, we're in the post-WrestleMania. Forget about coronavirus and whatnot. But always is when – this is the time of year they always present me with the stuff I'm very interested in. You know, because you always have like a new champion and then it's like, oh, here's someone. They're going to wrestle this guy. And it's just always new dynamics that I'm very, very excited about. I'm always surprised people drop off in this time because it's like right now, this is when Kofi became champion. I'm like, let's see Kofi's run, you know?
Right.
But I guess some people are only excited about just the moment. But all right, I got a question for you. I know Asuka is very much one of your guys.
Yeah.
Saw Asuka. She's cutting her promo. She qualified for the Money in the Bank. We didn't talk about female Money in the Bank, by the way, but we will in a sec. She's cutting a promo in Japanese. I love it. But we are getting to this place where we don't know what she's saying.
Right.
Are you open to, how do you feel about giving her captions, subtitles, translator. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to know what she's saying?
Yeah, subtitles are great. It just that fixes it immediately. I've been saying for years, just give her subtitles and go check the tapes.
Go back in the tape. A lot of go back in the tapes, guys. We know you have the time, so really go back in the tapes.
Archives, yeah. Her, Kairi Sane, Shinsuke Nakamura, all the Japanese talent, any non-native English speaker talent. If they're more comfortable cutting promos in their language, let them do it. Put subtitles up. It's not hard.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that it would be great. Like, if she could scream and they kind of do subtitles thing, I think there's a way to do it. They're going to have to play around with it, but I think it would be really cool. I don't want to have a translator.
No.
Yeah.
Because they would do something like fucking name it. It would be like Suyim Chopstick, and it would be her fucking translator, and it would be the Suyim most racist thing
Chopstick.
In the world.
No more, Mr. Nice Jew!
Wow, the gloves are off.
You know they would.
Shock the system.
That's Newman. All right, last thing I want to talk about, okay? The female Money in the Bank. Right now, we have three already qualified, three women. Asuka?
Yep.
I believe Sarah Logan, although it was kind of unclear because Baszler got DQ'd. So I think they're just setting up for Becky Shayna rematch. Nice promo by Becky in the ring, by the way. Nice. Everyone's cutting pretty nice promos because they're having a nice. Their heads are fucking clear of some idiot screaming at them in the front row. But looks like Sarah Logan qualified, maybe, because I think I'm not sure. They were really weird on the announcing. They really confused me. But Nia Jax, Asuka, and Sarah Logan, I believe. But forget that's who's in there. But who do you think, just fantasy book wise, what woman do you think should win the Money in the Bank briefcase?
There's a couple of characters, character wise, who it would be cool with. I think Asuka is one of them. Or Nia Jax, I think would be cool too for her to have it.
Yeah, Nia Jax does feel really good with it. I think that's a good call. I always love Alexa Bliss with the case. I think they've done it already, so I don't know if they will. But yeah, that's a good call. Nia Jax is a cool one to do it. She just got back.
Yeah.
And then you know it's always like she's always on the table. You know. Mm-hmm. But she's not like most girls. So I think that's something to think about. Yeah. I mean, Baszler,
it's also a good opportunity to give her a different push with a different theme song.
Well, I think they're going for Monster with her right now. So, yeah, she does. You know, yeah. I think that's good. Yeah, let's keep it at Nia Jax for now. I think that's a good call. Then we'll see what we'll see. You know, we'll adjust it as we go. All right. Well, that'll do it, everybody. That's all the topics I had. I mean, that's all the news that's fit to print, as a matter of fact. You heard it here second. I said the mayor of Florida is an idiot. The governor of Florida. I mean, I'm sure the mayor's not. By the way, I blast Florida on this podcast a month. I just want to say, basically, I have so much family in Florida. It's basically my second home. So I'm not blasting the state of Florida as much as I'm blasting a lot of their government. Doesn't seem to be doing a good job. And yeah, well, you know, I think that we're going to keep monitoring what's going on with wrestling here. It's very tricky times. I don't have definitive answers on stuff. I'll just give you the facts that I have right now. And we're going to keep watching because, you know, it does in a way is an essential service for a lot of us, even though it's confusing if they should do it. And I think a lot of talent are in a really weird spot. It's tricky. I hope that whoever's in charge is keeping, I hope there's proper measures in place, although I just don't know that that's even a thing. So anyway, I'm not sure that's a thing. Look, you know what? It is what it is. We'll deal with it. Anyway, but hey, check out, support this podcast if you dig what we're doing. We are more grassroots than ever. Go to patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Sign up for our bonus episodes, bonus content. I'm mailing stickers as we go here. almost died. Also, you can get access to the Cow Movie Club. We're doing Bumblebee next week. Every Monday, Cow Movie Club episode comes out where we dissect movies with pro wrestlers in them. We're doing Bumblebee, which is available either on Hulu or Prime. I forget. You'll find it. And you can also listen to Gridiron Gang, which is out now. And also last week, Bushwick. I highly recommend checking out that movie, Bushwick. 2017 on Netflix. And you can listen to the episode on it. Dave Bautista's in it. We had a fun episode talking about that. And hoodies are going out. Stickers are going out. Things are happening, people. And Twitch is off this week. We'll be back next week with Twitch, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. Give us a follow, and that's it. All right, everybody. Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Comedians of wrestling, I listen up
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.